When I was a kid, teenage boy, my dad had one of those conversations with me, you know, a dad heart-to-heart to say, son, you're going to face some things in life that are going to be hard. Some things tough, figuring out why are we here, what's my purpose. He said, I want to tell you something. If you're going to understand life, you need to understand the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. And that was good advice. Let me give you just an overview of Genesis. I wrote this down last July, a year plus ago. And this is a summary of the first few chapters of Genesis. God made the universe. God created life. God made humans. God created two sexes, male and female. He made marriage to be a union of an individual man to an individual woman. One man married to one woman for a lifetime. God gave them the capacity to produce offspring. When they mate, they sometimes conceive. When they do conceive, the children born to them are their charge. It's their job, not the government's, not the schools, not society's, to provide for them, to train them, and to love those kids. Society is established on the building block of the family unit. When families fail, society is harmed. When marriage is dissolved, children are hurt. It behooves the Christian man to recognize the rightful place of God, to submit to his sacred word, to embrace the unique role of the sexes, to honor the sanctity of sex and marriage, and to fully own the obligation to love, provide for, and train his children. Dads, the job starts with you. Own the task, love your wife, train your children. That was my summary of the first couple of chapters of Genesis. I'm going to tell you, I wrote this down. These paragraphs sound radical in our present-day America. In fact, if these words were posted on many social media sites, they would actually be banned, canceled. So what leads me, I'm speaking for me, Rich Tozer, the preacher, what leads me to make these assertions? Simply, it is the authority of the Word of God. God established these principles from the very outset in His sacred text. As my dad told me, if you want to understand life, go back to Genesis. So that's what we're doing tonight. Genesis chapters 1 and 2 is where I'll preach from tonight. I've simply entitled the message, Do Your Job. Do Your Job. What is your job? Well, we sure better understand it from God's perspective. So I'm going to give you two key points tonight, a few sub-points to go with them. The first one will be out of Genesis 1. So let me read a little section from that. Genesis 1, 1 through 5 to start with. So if you need a pew Bible there, it's really simple. Open up to the very first book of the Bible. It's Genesis 1, page 1, verse 1, chapter 1. Okay, here it is. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, it means empty, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Now that pattern continues all throughout. That's the first day. And interesting, where did the light come about? God said, Let there be light. And there was light. Genesis 33:6 says, By the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the hosts of them. By the breath of his mouth, verse 9 says, For he commanded it was done, he spake, it stood fast. I mean, God said it, and it happened. All right, now let's go down to verse 26. This is for our purposes tonight. Starting in 26, God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, created he him. Male and female, created he them. God blessed them. God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth. Subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth and every tree which is the fruit of every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. To every beast of the earth, to every fowl of the air, to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made. Behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Okay, so God says he made everything. He spoke it into existence. He says he did it in 6 days. There's some today who say, well, how can you believe God did it in 6 days? Because he said so. He wanted to, he could have done it in 6 nanoseconds. Well, what about the fact that there are stars that are millions and millions of light years away? No problem. Say, well, if the Earth is only, let's say, 6,000 years old or so, how would there be light showing up from millions of light years away? Well, think about this. When he created man, he didn't create infants. Adam and Eve were mature adults with the ability to bear children. When he created trees, they're already bearing fruit, okay? And when he created the sun, moon, and stars, they were already created with maturity as well. The light was already showing up the minute he spoke them into existence. So don't let some of these things be a matter of perplexity to you. It's interesting that God doesn't defend his existence. He just declares it. In the beginning, God created. He tells us. And by the way, you have to believe something always existed, either God or gas, either creator or chemicals. And evolutionists will say, well, I can't believe in God because if there were God, you'd have natural law defied time and time again. You know, there'd be miracles if there were God. Let me tell you, if evolution is true, you have miracle upon miracle upon miracle without God. And that's even more absurd. There's no absurdity in believing that God made everything. He is beyond our comprehension. If you're interested in more of that, I read a book one time called In 6 Days. A man named John Ashton edited the book. He was at a conference on origins. It was a secular conference, and a man stood up, a keynote speaker stood up and said, I don't think there's a PhD in America who believes in a 6-day creation. And Ashton thought, well, I know I do. And he looked over and said, I know that guy does. And he said, I know that guy does. So he sent out a 1-sentence email to colleagues around the Western world. Why do you believe in a 6-day creation? That was the one sentence. And he received dozens and dozens of essays back from people, and he compiled them in this book called In 6 Days. They're 5 to 15-page essays from earned PhDs from secular institutions. These men were everything from biochemists to physicists to statisticians to nuclear engineers, and they're writing why they believe in a literal 6-day creation. It's a fascinating book. So I'd recommend it to you if you're looking for something along those lines. But let me break down chapters 1 and 2. I'm going to start with number 1, the heavenly view of human beings. The heavenly view of human beings. And this is particularly in Genesis 1, 26 to 31. So the heavenly view of human beings. A lot of times we're interested in man's view of man. Well, how about God's view of man? That's what really matters. And so what do we learn about God's view of man? Well, first of all, I wrote this down. A, God made them. Okay, God's view of human beings. God made them. Look back at verse 26. God said, let us make man in our image. Okay, who's us? I went into that in detail yesterday. Yeah, that's the triune God. If you don't understand Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the Father, the Word, and Holy Spirit, you don't understand. Let us make man. This is God, the Trinity. He said, let's make man in our image and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth. So interesting. He made them, and I wrote down, in his own image. What does that mean? I like this little note. I went to Cleveland, Tennessee a couple years ago to visit my friend Dave Gamble, who's pastor at Shenandoah Baptist Church. And we took a tour of BIMI while I was there, and we went over to Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. And while we were touring Rock of Ages, I was given a New Testament that they print there. And I liked the notes in it so much, I later went back and bought a full Bible. They have the old Pilgrim Study Bible notes in the Rock of Ages Prison Ministry Bible. And this was a note from Genesis. I thought this is really good. From the Rock of Ages study notes. It said this. Of all the creation, only man was created like God. A trinity. Plants have a body. Animals have a body and a soul. Man is a trinity who has a body, soul, and spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Someone has likened the body to sense consciousness, the soul to self-consciousness, and the spirit to God consciousness. That's interesting. The body can sense things around it. So even plants, they respond to sunlight and water and dryness and whatever. Plants have a body. They don't have a soul. They don't think, but they're sensory perception, okay? So the body is sense consciousness. The soul is self-consciousness. So when you look in a mirror, you're aware of yourself. Animals are aware of themselves, etc. But man's unique in that man has an eternal spirit. And it's in the realm of the spirit that we have God consciousness. And why are so many people living like animals? Well, because until you're made alive, your spirit is dead. Ephesians 2:1, you have been quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Why do so many people live like animals? Well, because their soul is animated, but their spirit's dead because the sin has to be made alive through the new birth. But man was made a trinity. So, how did God make us? He made us first in his own image and then in two distinct sexes. It's incredible to me that this whole transgenderism argument is going on, gender identity. Folks, listen. You know, we hear science, science, science all the time. Beware, the Bible warns us about science falsely, so-called. I mentioned yesterday, it's amazing how the CDC is backtracking. Dr. Fauci announced today he's retiring in December. Hallelujah. Isn't that interesting, though? Why would he be retiring in December? Might have something to do with what's going to go on in November. And then the turnover of elected officials in January. Really interesting, isn't it? Science, falsely so-called. Oh, you got to take the vaccine. You got to get the shots. If you get the vaccine, you won't get the disease. And, well, guess what? People still got it. It's amazing. Trust the science. And now we're being told, well, you know, if children are not sure of their identity, they can go through gender reassignment. That's genital mutilation we're talking about. These are children who are prepubescent. They don't even understand sexuality. And what is going on in our society? Folks, look, you know what the science tells us? There's an XX chromosome, there's an XY chromosome. You're either a man or a woman. You're not both, you're not either or, you're a man or a woman. Now, Brother Mike thought about going to the ladies' meeting tonight because they have cupcakes back there. He was telling me. But thankfully, we're in a fundamental Baptist church, so we don't allow you to identify as a woman just to go get the cupcakes. So he's like the rest of us, we'll get ours later. But, you know, you are who you are. You're made such by God. I got to think about it. It's only illogical. You think about this. Even if evolution were true, can you imagine the first man that evolved? And they always say it starts with something simple. They say some type of protozoa, maybe an amoeba, and eventually cells divided and subdivided. I always wonder, how long did this take, and what did the creature eat while it was evolving? You know, it went from inanimate to matter. One of the laws of science is the law of biogenesis. Only life begets life. You know, putting two rocks together, you do not get inanimate objects producing an animate object. Only life begets life. But somehow, the amoeba formed spontaneously. Well, when it became a living thing out of an inanimate thing, what did it eat? How long did this take? You know, so they say, well, it took a long, long time. This must have been, you talk about survival. So this thing went through various mutations and eventually climbed up on land. Time out, how did it know there was land? Well, you see, it developed eyes to see the land. Oh, how did it know it needed to develop eyes to see the land? Where did the land come from? Well, it just happened. Okay, now I've been trying to turn these 37-inch sleeves into wings for years. I could save churches a lot of money if I could fly at my own cognizance to a church, you know. I am a very complex being compared to an amoeba. I have not been able to adapt these arms to wings, but somehow the amoeba was able to adapt and develop eyes and limbs and eventually climbed up the land. And, you know, eons of time went by and eventually it became the first Homo sapiens. If all that were true, let's say it evolved to the first male species, he says to himself, you know, it's kind of a lonely world. We need some more people like me. How are we going to get more people like me? Well, you know, if I could just find a her, how would he even know he needed a her? And if he did, how's he going to find one? Some of you guys are single. You think it's hard to get a date. Can you imagine being the first guy if you evolved out of nowhere? And by the way, if the first species decided we've got to produce more of us, can you imagine the complexities involved in human reproduction? How in the world would that come about with trial and error? It's impossible. It's a closed system. It had to be from the beginning, which is what God says. In the beginning, he made them male and female. I remember when my daughter got married in 2019. Her name is Brianna Tozer, and she married Andrew Spence. And she is a graphic designer, and she's an artist, and she'd already been using her name, Brianna Tozer, for her art. She's like, Dad, Andrew likes our name even more than his name. Couldn't he just adopt our name? I said, no. Well, Dad, but we like our name. I said, do you know why the woman takes the man's name? He's like, no. Genesis chapter 5, verse 3, God called their name Adam. So, honey, God set it up. We're not going to go against God. Oh, okay. Okay, so she's Brianna Spence. If you don't go back to Genesis, I'm telling you, you're left to, you can come up with whatever you want to come up with, but I want to ask you, how logical is it when you deviate from God? It's not logical. Okay, so God made them. But then I say, let her be here, God blessed them. Look at verse 28. After he made them, and the Bible tells us that God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it. You know, some people act like man is an intruder on planet Earth. Like, you know, if we could just get rid of humans, just let the animals have. Some people were happy during COVID that, you know, because of all the lockdowns, some of the species that started coming back into canals and formerly polluted canals and et cetera, like, oh, isn't this wonderful? The animals are finally having their reign on Earth. Well, God told man to subdue. That's why we have laws of conservation, for instance. You know, if you don't hunt them with the rifle, you're going to kill them with your bumper. So we're to have dominion. Yeah, the hunters all love this, okay? But we're to have dominion over the earth. God set that up. Man is the top of the chain. Not because man is survival of the fittest. God put man in that position. And there's proper management of all that. But God ordained man to be blessed. In fact, not only that, he blessed them, but the letter C, he charged them. He gave them a charge. Very interesting. He said, be fruitful and multiply. He never warned man against overpopulating the earth. You know, we're somewhere like 7.3 billion people right now. And you know, Bill Gates and others are working really hard to try to see us go back to population levels 500 years ago. Have you heard that? Any of you follow anything about the Great Reset? It's not just a conspiracy. You know, in fact, I'm reading too much that makes me nervous about these vaccines fitting into that very scenario. But the whole idea of abortion. Do you know where abortion originated? Yeah, Margaret Sanger, you know, eugenics. You know Margaret Sanger was a racist? Margaret Sanger was deliberately targeting the black race to limit the black race. I mean, I just can't imagine how many people who are liberal in their politics would think, oh, this is great for our, this is not great for anybody's race. No, life, all men are created equal. That's what makes America unique in that understanding. And abortion was an attempt at population control. And by the way, still is. That's why they're blowing a gasket over this reversal of Roe v. Wade. By the way, Roe v. Wade did not outlaw abortion. I'd be all for outlawing abortion. It should be, in my opinion. But it goes back to the states. But boy, they act like, boy, they just lost all their freedoms. Listen, God ordained the protection of life. God ordained families to reproduce. And he never, have you ever seen people come in like, missionary, you know, has 7, 8 kids? And people think like, oh, well, rather large family. Yeah, since when is that a crime? I always thought I'd have about 5 kids. I thought that would be a big family, you know, and then heard about the Duggars. But, you know, I always thought 5 would be big because we live in a trailer. I only have 3 daughters. We have 1 boy in heaven that died at 17 weeks. But, you know, I always wanted a big family. The Lord gave us what he gave us. We never tried to limit our family, whatever God wants to give us. But it grieves me to see people sneer when somebody's got a family of 8, 10 kids. Like, don't they know? Yeah, they know. They know. They want a big family. By the way, God's in their corner. Or they're in God's corner, I should say. Okay? So he blessed them. And don't ever have this view. If you want, you have a smaller family, it's on you. Good. Between you and God. But don't be upset with somebody for having a big family. God told them, you're blessed. You have the family that you want to have. So he gave them a charge. But then notice this, letter D, God provided for them. Verses 29 and 30. God provided for them. God said, behold, I've given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth. So originally, they just ate fruits and vegetables, okay? And by the way, some people argue, well, that's just how it's always meant to be. Well, it's kind of hard to say that when God told Peter to rise, kill, and eat. And, you know, so, boy, I'm getting on the hunter side, I guess, tonight. But anyway, you know, be careful how you want to ride some. But it is true. In the beginning, they didn't eat animals. They just eat what was in the fields. Okay, and then notice this. So God provided for them. And it is interesting. Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 37:25, I've been young, now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Matthew 6:24-34 is where he talks about, you know, the lilies of the field, they don't sow or toil, but look, they're adorned more beautifully than Solomon. Look at the sparrows of the field, you know, and he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, food and clothing, shall be added unto you. He promises you put him as your priority, he's going to take care of your needs. So often we flip it. We think, I can't be in church. I've got to work 7 days a week. Fellas, listen, God ordained work. We can get into that in a minute. But I want to tell you, you're working 7 days a week, you're working too much. Well, who are you to say? It's not my place. I'm just telling you what God says. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. The seventh is holy unto the Lord. Think about this. Some people say, well, I tell you what, I believe in a work ethic. Me too. Good for you. But some guys have the idea, Psalm 127 warns us, it's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Okay, think about this. Why do we have a 24-hour day? What's marked by 24 hours? How long it takes for the earth Earth to rotate on its axis, one revolution, okay? Why 365 and a quarter day year? Yeah, one orbit of the Earth around the sun, okay? And then, why do we have a seven-day week? There's no astronomical reason for that. God is the one who set it up. In fact, you read the beginning of Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1, he talks about on the seventh day he rested. There's no reason in astronomy for that. That's the pattern God set up. I heard guys say, I'll tell you what, I never take a vacation. The devil doesn't take a vacation. Well, who wants to be like the devil? Think about this. Why do you have to sleep every night? That's how God set it up. You know, 6-8 hours of sleep? I mean, God made your body need to be recharged. It's like conveniences that have to be charged, batteries that need to be charged. You've got to be recharged. And if God, who needs nothing, saw fit to take rest, boy, it is the height of presumption for you to think you don't need rest. Okay, so God blessed them, he charged them, he provided for them, and then he approved them. Look at verse 31. God saw everything he made. Behold, it was very good. The evening and the morning were the first day. So after God made everything, was there anything on earth that God said, well, that's not so good? No, he said it was all good. You know, politicians have these ads and they say, I'm so-and-so and I approve this message. Well, God says, this is my creation, and I approve this creation. It's all very good. Okay, so that's the heavenly view of humanity. But then I want you to get this, number two, the give and take of God and man. We're going to chapter two for this. The give and take of God and man. There's some give and take. There's some things that are on us, and there's some things that are on God. All right, note this first of all. A, man was formed by God. Look at verse 7 of chapter 2. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, it's interesting. God used something already in existence to create us. Man was formed out of earth. Now, here's the sad thing. Man without God thinks that humans are just a compilation of chemical components. No, no. God used the chemical components to form man, but what made man unique? Once he formed the skeletal structure, once he formed the muscle and the tissue,